This is a podcast to document the strange times we're living in, to give musicians an opportunity to share their experiences during social distancing and self-isolation measures. Self-hosted snapshots of this unique time. Welcome to Social Distancing Diaries.
Hey, this is Joshua Spears. I'm a musician, and right now I'm in Los Angeles, California. I live over on the east side of town, in a part of town called Glassell Park that's sort of tucked in, at least where I am, up in the hills a little bit. I'm not from Los Angeles, and since I've been out here, I find that any chance you get to just get a little bit of elevation, the whole town changes. It feels so much more, I don't know, I just like it better, I guess. There's a weird thing here where I grew up on the east coast of the United States, and most of the places where I grew up, you wanted to be able to look at the mountains, and in Los Angeles, the mountains are right here. They're always right in front of you, but it's like all the houses face the wrong direction. You'll be in a house and someone will say, look at this amazing view of downtown. You can see the whole skyline of the city right there. And if you just turn your perspective 180 degrees, right behind you is this ridiculous vista of mountains that's kind of just breathing down your neck the whole time. And I'm really fortunate that I found a spot that looks out over the mountains. I moved into this place in January, so about 2 months or so before the quarantine went into effect, and it's been such a huge privilege to be able to have a space that's completely my own, no roommates, just me, four walls, and lots of instruments to be able to create. It's hard being in a city right now. Like I said, grew up on the East Coast of the United States. I was born in Delaware and grew up on the campus of a school there that was nestled in a big expanse of farmland and forest. And then I lived in Western Massachusetts for a while. I went to school in upstate New York, and my dad's in New Hampshire. My mom's in Western North Carolina. So there's a lot of big open spaces that are important to me, or that's just where I grew up. So being in a densely populated city is new and quite hard, especially when you're trying to socially distance yourself from others, and you just feel the intensity of this place that is such a hotbed for the virus right now. So I think a lot about the East Coast, and I find myself daydreaming and sleep dreaming, aka dreaming about the East Coast and places that I've spent a lot of time in, and also places that I barely know, but sometimes those are like the perfect places to begin a daydream or a regular sleepy time dream. There's something about knowing very little about the space or knowing just enough that your brain and your imagination have so much more room to wander and kind of take off. I've had to cancel or postpone a couple things because of the quarantine. It always feels weird, you know, lamenting the things I've had to cancel, because as musicians, what a privilege to get to do what we do, and I do think music is so essential. I believe that, but at the same time, there's so much more that is more essential right now. I released an EP in May, and was supposed to play a couple of release shows around that record in New York and Los Angeles, and there was a tour coming together that was supposed to be for right about now. So that's all had to get pulled down, and I had to pull down sessions in person, and It's been weird. I've been thinking a lot about worry and loss, and listened to this great podcast recently, the On Being podcast with Krista Tippett. She's talking with Pauline Boss, who's a psychologist and has worked with the military and family members of people missing in combat. But it's this idea of, she really talks a lot about this idea of ambiguous loss and the loss of something, the loss that is where there's no concrete definition of it or concrete moment to look to of where it was gone or what you lost. Been thinking a lot about that, you know, what I'm struggling with, what feel I've lost, and also just on a national or global sense of kind of what we all have lost, the people that we've lost, the sense of trust in our government that we've, I think, so clearly lost, and rightfully lost. There's a lot of loss out there, and it's a heavy thing to live under, but I think it's important to dig into. I'm doing the best I can to keep busy. I think it is so important to just keep moving as much as you can, whatever that looks like for you. There's certainly been a pressure. I remember feeling this at the beginning of the quarantine of, oh my God, we've got so much time. Can't wait to write that novel or learn those three languages. I remember people around me, I was probably feeling pressure from my record label of who I love, and they're all great people, but I think it was them. Maybe it wasn't. I shouldn't say shit about them, but someone had said, and it just absolutely set me off. Someone said, oh, isn't this such a great opportunity to be more creative? Isn't there? I just feel like there's so much more you can do now. You know, like, what if you just make a whole album on your iPhone and just like shoot a bunch of videos, you know, just like on your phone? Isn't it just like such an opportunity to be more creative? And I wanted to tear their head off because it's really hard to be creative any time. You never really know when you're going to feel up to it, at least for me personally. So to have someone say like, great, you have no excuse now, just double down, felt like such an insult to the process and how hard it is, and how as creative people, we are feeling a lot of stuff right now. It's hard to just find the clarity to focus on something. I think a lot about, there's a Wordsworth quote. He says that poetry is emotion recollected in tranquility. Poetry is emotion recollected in tranquility. And when I think about that, especially as it relates to now, I'm having a hard time finding tranquility. Right now, it's just all emotion. It doesn't work when it just comes out as emotion, because that just shows up as like blood and claw marks on the paper. You need that chance to recollect it, to have a bit of perspective before you can really make use of it. There's the other Chuck Close quote about inspiration. He says, inspiration's for amateurs. The rest of us just get to work. And I want to like that quote. I wish I was someone who swore by that and felt like, you know, you just get up and you go to work and you do your thing. And I've worked a lot of manual labor jobs, and back when I was a hired gun, I was a hired bass player in other people's bands. And between those tours, I worked on a lot of carpentry jobs and construction crews. And I love that mindset of you just kind of like put your boots on and get in there and show up and clock in. But it doesn't always work that way. And for my process, I know I have to be gentle with myself, and it's a tight balance of pushing hard to not be lazy, but also trusting when you got to be kind to yourself. There's something about this moment. I've found my inner critic to be hard to dodge. We all have that critic, and sometimes they're louder than other times. And I'm finding it's all about finding new ways to trick yourself into creating. For me, that's, a new pen that I'm excited about writing with, or a new notebook that I'm excited about writing in, or a new piece of gear as a musician, a new guitar or a new effects pedal. And then I can almost trick my brain into thinking, oh, I'm not working on a song right now. I'm just exploring. I'm just playing. This isn't songwriting. And that keeps my critic at bay. But there's something about not having a concrete future to look towards and say, okay, I know then that I'll be able to get back into the studio with my friends and get back on the road. The absence of that concrete place to look at and plan for, it collapses the walls of that creative space, and it's hard to keep the critic out of a room that doesn't have walls. So back to what I've been doing to keep busy, reading a lot. I just finished Me and White Supremacy, which is a remarkable book, and I highly recommend to all people that identify as white, do the work, do the journaling, and really look inside yourself. It's hard work, but it is such important work. I'm certainly late to the game, and I've been doing everything I can to catch up on my own complicity in a structure of white supremacy. I read Why Are All the Black Kids Sitting Together in the Cafeteria, another amazing book that just gives more historical context for institutionalized racism. I've got an Instagram book club that I started with my friend Matt Thompson, who's the lead singer of a UK band called the Amazons. And we've been reading music books, both as musicians. We're diving into the largely unexplored world of rock and roll, memoirs, biographies, autobiographies, fiction. We're halfway through reading this new book on Prince called The Beautiful Ones. Before this book, we read David Hepworth's book, Uncommon People, about kind of the rise and the fall of rock stars and why they don't exist anymore. I'm reading a book called The Overstory that is a wild book all about trees. It sounds kind of dull, but it's gorgeous. It's like really dense. It's a long book, but there's something really comforting about digging in for the long haul with a book like that right now. If you need recommendations for books, anything by Jesmyn Ward. I'm halfway through her book, Men We Reaped, right now, and it's fantastic. I think I've said beautiful or gorgeous about all the books that I've just described, but they all are. I'm telling the truth. Something else I've been thinking about, as I mentioned, I was a hired gun and bass player for a couple of other artists, and when I was on tour for long stretches of time, I would have these like erotic dreams about mundane house tasks, like cooking and cleaning and doing the dishes and laundry, especially laundry. Really, really intense dreams about laundry. And so now that I'm here and kind of in this place to I'm home for such a long stretch of time. It's been really nice to dig into all of those things and just find the little joys in all of them and remember how much I miss them. I think when the quarantine first went into effect, I didn't really want to think about how long I was going to be home for. I was so looking forward to being on the road and playing shows and playing all these new songs live for the first time. So because I was kind of in denial, I pushed off a bunch of things that I needed to do, purchases that I needed to make from my place. But I've just done those in the last like 2 weeks. And I can't recommend enough, just nest, like just make your space how you want to make it. And I'm not talking about bawling out. I'm saying like, just get those new pillows. 'Cause you know, you're going to sleep better. Get a big comfy towel, because getting out of the shower, is going to feel that much better. There's a ceramic artist that I really love who died maybe 2 years ago, named Warren McKenzie. And he had this great line about functional objects. And he said that a functional object should provide more kick than just the fulfillment of its function. I think about that a lot, and trying to surround myself with functional objects that give a little more kick, and what kind of life that would be if you have all of your stuff gives you more of a kick than just being stuff. That toothbrush you're excited to use, that cast iron skillet that just makes you happy. Sure, some people would say that's so materialistic, but I think it ties into Marie Kondo's thing about objects that keep all the stuff that brings you joy. So as I was saying, I've been trying to trick myself into being creative and working on songs. I really didn't want to do sessions with other songwriters over Zoom or FaceTime. I thought it was just so antithetical to the process of writing songs and frustrating. And I think a lot of that was just based on fear and being afraid of having to change my process. And it is really, really hard. There's something about FaceTime that is twice as exhausting. I think it's because you're putting in that much more energy to connect with someone across an impossible barrier. You know, there's no way to fully connect with someone over FaceTime. So your body's like almost overcompensating. And then it's like your engines just overheat. I find the same thing too with, you know, trying to have a conversation with someone, even someone you know really well, when you're wearing a mask. It's exhausting because you're trying to communicate expressions, facial expressions, with like a third of the real estate that you usually convey emotion with. All you have is like the top of your nose and up, and so much is lost that way. So you overwork. It's really hard. Along with that, it's hard to write songs about stuff when there's nothing going on. You know, you're just home. You're not overhearing conversations from people. You're not around friends. You're not having experiences with other human beings. And as I say this, I hear Chuck Close in the back of my head saying, "Inspirations for amateurs. The rest of us just get to work." And to that, I give you the middle finger, Mr. Close, respectfully. But what I've been doing to try and find songs is driving around. I wait until after dinner and get in the car and drive around Los Angeles. And because I'm still relatively new here, and my family is all has always lived on the East Coast, it's still exciting to drive the whole length of Sunset Boulevard, or, you know, drive and see the Hollywood sign as the sun's going down, or drive up around the Griffith Park Observatory when it's lit up at night. And I hope I don't lose that. I think that you can find that too in places that you know really well, if you just kind of look at them, ask yourself to look at them differently. Get in your car, listen to music, and drive around. There's some music always tastes better when you're in the car for some reason. I've been listening to a lot of Arlo Parks and the new Phoebe Bridgers record. And both of those songwriters, I think, are so good that it's almost like there are other songs hidden in their songs. And this has been happening to me where maybe I'll mishear a lyric and that'll set me off running on an idea for a song. And it really comes down to just spending more time looking for songs. You got to go searching for them. And maybe that is what Chuck Close is talking about. It's like not waiting around for inspiration and getting to work. But I've been reading twice as much and pulling books, poems off the shelf that have been sitting there for a while, just trying to find songs. The way my process works is usually something kind of falls into my head when I'm talking to someone else or something that someone says. And in the absence of that, I got to go looking for it. What can I recommend? I recently discovered Jensen McRae. She's an LA singer-songwriter, and her songs are just amazing, like stop you in your tracks, and also like kind of make you pissed off if you're a songwriter, because they're just so good. I've been going back and watching some of Terrence Malick's films. Badlands is his first film, and I love that movie so much. I just rewatched his film The Tree of Life too. That's another good one. It's a great time to do the deep dives. The deep dives into, like, watch all the films of a director or an actor. I've been doing it for musicians. There are musicians, we all have these gaps in our knowledge of music. And I always feel kind of guilty of those gaps. And there's also this feeling that, like, if you didn't listen to, if Death Cab for Cutie didn't find you when you were like 13 to 15, that, like, you're kind of never gonna get it. It's never gonna really hit you the way it should. I think there's truth in that. I think one of the ways to counter that, or kind of account for it, is read the biography, if there is one, or read the autobiography, because then you develop like a proximity to the band or the artist, and then you're kind of like a part of their story, or you get at least the cultural context of their music, which, you know, is, I think, is so integral, because, like, how do you understand how much they mattered if you don't get that context? So, along with reading this biography of Prince for Shelf Isolation, my Instagram book club, I've been doing a deep dive into Prince's music, and there's a lot. But I highly recommend finding an artist that you always wish you knew more of, and doing that dive. It all takes so much energy, man. That's the hardest thing of right now. It just takes so much energy to do small things. And again, so privileged to be able to complain about how much energy things take. But at the same time, be tender, be kind to yourself. All right, if I'm choosing four people to self-isolate with, who would they be and why? I'd choose Patti Smith for her poetry and for her for conversations. I'd choose Angela Davis for knowledge. What an amazing teacher. I'd love to learn her courage. I'd choose David Chang for the food and the conversation. And I'd bring Questlove in. Always good to have a DJ around. And so many stories. If you can Google any time that Questlove talks about Prince, there's amazing stuff in there. Ultimate shelf isolation snack. I've been drinking a lot of Budweiser. I don't know if that, I'm not exactly proud of it. I'm not sure if that counts, but there it is. Food that I haven't been able to get a hold of in shops. Like I said, I'm from, I grew up in Delaware. In the summertime, we would do big crab bakes. This is like our regional food. It's like our version of barbecue. So blue crabs out of the Chesapeake Bay, between Maryland and the Delaware Peninsula. You boil them, and then you just cover them with Old Bay seasoning, which is the God's gift to humans. It's the best seasoning under the sun. Your fingers get all cut up when you're picking crabs, and it's a lot of work for not a whole lot of return. And then the Old Bay gets into the cuts, and it just stings in this really satisfying, masochistic way. I miss that. I'm looking forward to hugs when we get through this quarantine. So many friends I just want to hug the shit out of. And also just getting back to work. I know a lot of my friends are talking about how they've realized how much they like working and how much joy and sense of self they find in working and working hard. One of the things that is so important about a time like this is learning who you are without those things that you tie your identity to. I used to think about this a lot when I was on the road all the time, is who am I if I'm not on tour? It's really easy to get addicted to touring because your sense of self is so confirmed. You are Josh Spears, the bass player. You know exactly where you're supposed to be that night. You know exactly what notes you're supposed to play that night. Your sense of self is so concrete. And then you get off tour and you feel like Superman when there's no crime. You have this like very specific skill set, and nowhere to use it. That can be a really hard come down. And I think you constantly, you know, it's not a box you just check off. You constantly have to be asking those questions of who am I outside of my work? Who am I outside of my friends? Who am I outside of my relationship, outside of my family? These are hard, hard questions, and it's hard emotional work to do. But I remember my grandmother saying at some point, you have to furnish your mind and make it a place that you want to inhabit. And I love thinking about that quote of you know, putting the couch over here inside of your brain and just making that kind of interior apartment as close to perfect as possible. And that's a lifetime of work. Any tips for people that are struggling? Yeah. Continuing what I was just talking about. I've had to like relearn how to breathe. That sounds corny as hell, I'm sure. But it's so true. We do it without knowing. But I think you can do it better with knowing. I can't remember where I picked it up from, but this way of cooling down by breathing out for 5.5 seconds and breathing in for 5.5 seconds and just repeating that for as long as you like really slows the heart rate down. Along with that, mindfulness and other forms of meditation, loving kindness meditation has been really, really helpful for me. Sharon Salzberg is one of the leading figures right now. And if you Google her work, you'll get a better understanding. But the idea basically is that you're conjuring up the thought of someone. At first, it can be someone who was kind of like a teacher or someone who's helped you, and then someone who's a friend, and you repeat these sayings of, you know, may they be safe, may they be happy, may they be healthy and live with ease. And you do it for multiple people. You do it for someone that is really challenging to you, an enemy, a nemesis, someone who's holds a hard place in your present or past, and you wish them well. It's hard to do because there are some people that I do not like and do not want to send kindness to, but why let those people rent space inside of you? I've been working on that. It's hard. Some charities or fundraisers that I'd like to bring to listeners' attention. Yes, definitely. The Loveland Foundation helps provide therapy for Black women and girls. I've benefited in my lifetime from a lot of therapy. It's expensive as shit and shouldn't be. So any chance we can help make therapy more accessible to people, let's all chip in and do it, especially for Black women and girls. Women are the future, and Black women especially are the leaders. There's another organization called the Jesse Zazu Foundation. Jesse was the lead singer of a band called Those Darlins from Nashville, and she died a couple years ago. The foundation focuses specifically on women's health and preventative screenings. And it also does music education for young kids in the Nashville area. And then has a big focus on social justice campaigning as well. And those were three things that were so true or such core tenets to Jesse's life and the way that she lived, and her brothers and family continue her legacy and run the organization. And it's Jesse, this is her birthday month. So what a great time to give money. All right. This has been great. Thanks for letting me ramble on and on. Keep in touch and stay safe out there.
Thank you for listening to Social Distancing Diaries. If you want to discuss your own experiences, join the conversation. You can reach us on socialdistancingdiaries @gmail.com, @sddpod on Twitter, @socialdistancingdiariespod on Instagram, and on facebook.com/socialdistancingdiaries. Social Distancing Diaries is a Dark Shepherd production. Voiceover by Gemma Moore. Theme music is This City by Treasure Season. Edited by Jed Shepherd. Concept by Tom Dark.